I've hidden myself in drugs and alcohol. And then people started coming into my life. This girl, Elle, and Joyce just happened, and I told myself they needed me. But that wasn't true. That's a lie. They didn't need me. I needed them. I needed them. You were right what you said last night. I knew the risks breaking out of here, but I did it anyway. The minute I sent for Joyce, the minute I sent for her, I sentenced her to death. It's like I did with Sarah. Everyone I love, I hurt. See, I was wrong this whole time. I wasn't cursed. I am the curse.
Stranger, danger, talking stranger things. Together, forever, we're loving stranger things. It's Stranger Things Forever. Rewatching season 4 from the start to the finish. It's Stranger Things Forever. Every podcast we do will cover just 10 minutes. Stranger danger everywhere. I hope that you people still care. It's time for me to do it. Let's get to it. Come on, everyone.
Greetings, stranger friends, and welcome back to Stranger Things Forever, watching 10 minutes of each episode and talking about it, something like that. I've been gone for a few days. Part of that is just, you know, over the weekend, did, you know, fun family stuff, then a little not feeling so well. On Sunday, I went to my buddy's house to watch the Patriots, New England Patriots, of the National Football League win a game. But while I was there, I was like, ooh, my throat is really bothering me. And I'm around, you know, a bunch of people. I'm around some old people. I'm thinking, did they get me sick? Did I get them sick? Oh, goodness gracious. I'm like, wait a second. No, my throat was actually bothering me earlier in the day. And I was like, wait, can I blame moving furniture? Because I was helping my parents and my brother move a few things, and I was exhausted and then tired and then my back ached, and all of a sudden, you know, getting old is fun. All of a sudden, my throat hurt. And I was like, that's weirdly unrelated, but sometimes that happens to me, you know, and just have something to drink and, you know, you'll feel better. It'll go away on its own, but it did not. I went to my friend's house and I thought, well, maybe a hot dog will help. It did not. I was like, well, let me try again. It didn't help. I was like, well, you know, a third one couldn't hurt, and it didn't hurt, but it didn't help either. So we had a nice little hot dog bar. I made some taco dip. The Patriots won. It was all in all a good day. But on the way home, I called my wife, and I was like, don't freak out, but my throat is bothering me when I swallow. Like, it didn't. It wasn't like it was on fire. It wasn't like I couldn't talk. I could pretty much, you know, do, like, everything felt fairly normal, except it killed whenever I swallowed. And then that did kind of get to me. Like, it was bothering me. I didn't want to eat. And I called her because I was picking up dinner. And I got this, like, nice little chicken and pasta dish. And, you know, it would be Enzo's would appreciate it. That's how good it was. And I had no, like, appetite, even after the hot dogs. I was like, now I just, like, every time I swallowed, it killed. So I forced down a peanut butter sandwich, and I went to bed fairly early. And I woke up the next day, and I was like, it's only going to be worse. And it wasn't. Surprisingly, it was better, but had the day off for the holiday in the United States. It was a holiday, and so I said, you know what, even if there wasn't a day off, I said, you know what, I'm feeling a little better, but what if there's something lingering? let me go get tested and checked out. Because the night before, I didn't mention this. I had a little bit of a chill. The last time I had a chill, I got the, I tested positive. Let's just put it that way. You know, I had COVID. And that was years ago. So I haven't had it since. I thought, uh-oh, could this be it? I think it might be. Oh, no. Did I give it to anyone at the house? Oh, God. And the thing that made me even more nervous is that in 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 4 days from now, so I guess it was 5 days yesterday, I'm doing the drive, the big drive. I've talked about it. It's the drive, driving my mother-in-law to Florida. I need to be healthy for that. That is already set. We have motel rooms set. We have a flight back for me set. I must be healthy. So I said, let me go and get antibiotics in me, or as I like to call them, antibiotics, because I just think that sounds funnier. So I always say antibiotics. Again, sometimes it's just the way you say things. And I tested negative for strep. I tested negative for COVID. I said, that's great. But the doctor said, you know, it could, your throat is red, and it wasn't hurting as much, but it still was bothering me. That little punching bag in the back was like flared up. So she said, it could be a false negative with strep. You might still have it. So why don't we give you antibiotics? So I said, that is a wonderful idea, doctor. Pump those into me. She's like, no, you get a pill. I said, okay. So got them yesterday, took two pills yesterday, and I took the day off from work today. I said, you know what? One more reset day, more antibiotics, and I should be feeling better. I am feeling a lot better. I basically feel, I was going to say normal, but that's kind of never the case for me. I'm feeling healthy. Let's put it that way. Normal's boring, but I'm feeling healthy. And yet I did take the day off of work. And that's why, you know, at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, I'm here talking Stranger Things. So I didn't want to take any longer getting a show out to you guys, especially because next week I'm going to be traveling and I don't know how much I can record. So hopefully I can get a few out and or a few banked. I don't know, but I've got one recording right now. Who knows? Will I have another one recorded in me today? You never, ever know. But as of right now, I am here talking about the next 10 minutes of The Nina Project, chapter 5, minutes 30, chapter 5. Wait, this is part 4 of chapter 5, minutes 30 to 40. But before we get there, I wanted to give a shout out, a quick shout out to a stranger friend, Fizza, who wrote back. I mentioned an email that she sent the other day. She sent something else that seemed really interesting, but I didn't want to read it. And she knows what it is, but I'm not going to tell you guys what it is because I have a kind of an idea for after Stranger Things 5 to do like a little bonus show that incorporates something that she sent. So I copied that to a Google Doc so I don't lose it, even though I have it in email as well. And I'm putting it here on record to remind myself that this is something I want to do after Stranger Things 5 is completely, you know, finished. Just kind of an epilogue, I guess you could say. Now, have I ever announced a show I'm going to do and not do it? I mean, sure, these are the people of Stranger Things. That never happened. But it doesn't mean it never will happen. So maybe it's just not true yet. Or no. It's true, but it just hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's something, I don't know. You know what I mean. I'm not going back to edit that because, again, I'm on a sick day. So I'm trying to, cough. Yes, where was I? I'm not feeling so well. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for the email and, you know, give you a little teaser for something that might be happening after Stranger Things 5. And speaking of Stranger Things 5, for those first four episodes, we have run times. Imagine, if you will, being the a-hole who put out the fake run times for the first four episodes of Stranger Things, like Stranger Things 5. These people are either malicious a-holes or dum-dums. Like, which one are they? Are they liars? Are they idiots? Are they being fed something from fake, are they being fed fake leaks? I know, like, in wrestling, a lot of quote unquote journalists like to say, oh, we heard that this is going to happen, and sometimes it does happen, but a lot of the times they are fed things that are incorrect, and it could be two things: one, to make the journalist look incorrect, or two, to kind of suss out. I think that's the right word. Suss is sus. Now I think it means like you're suspicious, you're sus. But I thought then it meant to, like, kind of find the guilty party. I don't know. But to find, like, who actually is leaking these things. So you give a handful of people fake numbers. And if those numbers get out, then you know it's one of those people. I don't know. Either way, these numbers are ridiculous compared to what was actually confirmed by Mr. Ross Duffer on his Instagram account just yesterday morning. Ross Duffer told us the truth about the runtimes of those episodes. So just to go over each one and to compare to what was quote unquote leaked, The Crawl, 1 hour and 8 minutes long, 68 minutes. The leak had it at 2 hours and 10 minutes long. The Vanishing, the shortest one, 54 minutes. The Vanishing of blank, 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 54 minutes. The leak has it as The Vanishing of, and it says a name, and I don't even want to say the name, because I don't think, you know what? The name could be right. I don't know. I hope it isn't. Not that it's that big of a spoiler, but I don't even want to think about anything that could lead to knowing anything. Like, when the episodes come out, I'm going to try to avoid seeing the name even while watching the first episode, because I don't want to be like, and then you know what happens next. I don't want to know what happens next before I talk to you guys about that episode of The Crawl. They have that episode at 2 hours and 25 minutes. That's the longest one they have in the leak, and it's the shortest one of the four in reality. The fourth one, the Turnbow Trap, not the Tebow Trap, but the Turnbow that a lot of NFL teams fell into. The Turnbow Trap, 1 hour and 6 minutes, that's 66 minutes. They had it at 1 hour and 55 minutes, almost 2 hours long. And then Sorcerer is 2 hours. They had it at 2 hours and 5 minutes. The actual running time is 83 minutes. That's 1 hour and 23 minutes. So they, like, I think almost, if you combine like two of these, you know, like it's like half of what they said, which is just ridiculous. That's what they put out there. And the Sorcerer, like, I feel like I haven't done much speculation on things, or maybe I did. I must have gone through the episode titles when that happened. The Sorcerer, I think I said it before, but I know, you know, Vecna is supposed to be a dark wizard, but we have a wizard of our own, you know, Will the Wise. So I hope that Will the Wise is the Sorcerer. I hope. Or it's just like some rock band that they play on the radio station. WSQK, right? Squawk, I think. All right, that's it. I just wanted to go over those running times really quick. Oh, and I also wanted to give a shout out to the people of the world. You know, I live in a country called the United States. Of America. You may have heard of it. It's in the news a lot. Let's just put it that way. And most of the listeners of Stranger Danger are, you know, in the country with me, are in this country, but not everyone. So I wanted to give a quick shout out to the top 10 countries of this week. And maybe they're the top 10 countries all the time, of all time, like always the top 10, but of this week, in downloads, here are the top 10 countries. I was like, this is kind of fun. You know, it's crazy to realize that there are people all over the world that are listening to my voice right now. And like, the fact that they're on the top 10 this week means they hopefully are going to listen to this episode. Because I don't think everyone who subscribes listens to it. I think a lot of them wait for the main show to get here. But I want to give a shout out quickly to the countries of Mexico, coming in at number 10. At number 9, Spain. So that's two Spanish-speaking countries. I barely speak English. So I took 2 years of Spanish in high school, and I gave it up for accounting. And guess what? I wasn't good at that either. Number eight, New Zealand. Now, I know a couple things about New Zealand. Number one, fly to the Concords. And number two, Dai Henwood, the host of Lego Masters in New Zealand. That's my extent. I watched the New Zealand season of Lego Masters, or both seasons of the Lego Masters, and I've seen all the Flight of the Conchords. So New Zealand, people, thank you for listening. Then we move up to Germany. Of course, best known for Scorpions, I've never seen in concert, except another rock band who I have seen in concert, Helloween, another band who I have seen in concert. And if you watch Peacemaker, you would have got the Helloween jokes. I definitely got the Helloween jokes. And Rammstein, who I've never seen in concert, but I know of their music. The Netherlands. Now, what do I know about the Netherlands? I always go straight to music. And it looks like the band from the Netherlands who I have seen in concert is Within Temptation, who opened for Iron Maiden. But I have a bunch of Within Temptation songs on my playlist, so I've heard of them. Power metal, European power metal. You can't get any better than that. Number five, we have Australia, home of my favorite Lego Masters show, Australian Lego Masters. And I hate saying that because I went to high school with one of the judges from the American Lego Masters, which is what got me into watching Lego Masters in the first place. That's a great show. But the Australian show, I think, is probably one of my favorite shows on television right now. So mainly what I get from that, from Australia, is Lego Masters and Men at Work, who I've never seen in concert, but my brother and my nephew have recently. Canada, of course, we have John Candy, Michael J. Fox. I could go on and on. Those are the two main imports that matter the most to me. And Rush, I guess you could say. I've never seen Rush, but I have seen Bare Naked Ladies. Are they Canadian? I feel like they are, or they should be. Number three, the United Kingdom, also known as the UK. I've probably seen countless bands from the UK. Of course, my favorite band of all time, Iron Maiden, is from the UK. So they come in at number three. Number two, Brazil. The country of Brazil is the number two, as far as ranking listenership, at least of this past week. So to all my Brazilian listeners out there, I say, obrigado. Did I get that right? I said it almost like I was a vampire. Obrigado. That's thank you in Portuguese. And I know they speak Portuguese in Brazil. And I don't know any Portuguese. And it's shameful because I have a Portuguese last name. My father, his like side of the family, is he's like half Portuguese, or he's got some, whatever got him that last name is Portuguese. But I don't know any Portuguese. But in Brazil, I am a fan of the band Angra. Again, another power metal band. I love that, like, the United States seem to kind of steer away from that type of music, but the rest of the world still embraces it. Thank you. Dragon Force, are they Canadian? So there's another one for Canada. And number one, the United States. Again, they're number one. Best known for probably having the television show Stranger Things. And let's focus on that now as we jump into the next 10 minutes of the Nina Project.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So we pick up back in Russia. Hopper is at his most depressed state. And he's, you know, he's still talking to Antonov, talking about how, you know, last time he was saying they mixed some chemicals and they thought it was mostly harmless. But when he got back to America, the guys who actually made it back alive, they were trying to get back to normal life, you know, trying to have families. And that's when things started going wrong. There were kids born dead in the womb, stillbirth, crooked spines and eyes popped out. When I hear crooked spines and eyes popped out, my first thought was Vecna. You know, I was like, wait a second. Is he blaming Vecna for this? Like, could that be the tie-in? I don't think so. He just says the horrors that were in the war, in the Vietnam, followed them, clung to them. And, you know, he talks about how it's got really sad when you start seeing flashbacks about him and his wife. They wanted to have a child, and they did. He wanted one too. You know, she wanted, it wasn't like one or the other. They both wanted to have a family. Sarah was born normal, healthy. Everything was good. And, you know, she died, got sick. You know, it was not an easy death. It was painful. It was hard. And he knew the things. He knew the risk. But he hid it. He hid it from everyone. And, you know, not long after his wife left her, she didn't blame him, at least not with words. You know, that tells me that he felt blame, and he felt that she blamed him, but she at least wasn't cruel enough to say it to him. But I guess, you know, something like this can break a family, and that is what happened here. I don't think they fell out of love. I think they just couldn't be together anymore. And, you know, after that, he hit himself with drugs and alcohol. I remember that first season. I mean, he was just like schlubby, kind of not taking that seriously. And he was, you know, he had a bit of a belly. But then he says that's when, you know, all of a sudden people started coming into his life. And we see him talking about Eleven, talking about Joyce. And he said, you know, he told himself that they needed him. They needed him to be in their life. But he says that was a lie. That wasn't true. They didn't need him. He needed them. And then, you know, this whole thing about breaking out. Again, he knew the risks, but he did it anyway. Just like with his daughter, it was very Bostonian. Just like with his daughter, Sarah, he did it anyway. And the moment he sent for Joyce, the moment he got her involved, he sentenced her for death. And he says, everyone he loves, he hurts. He used to think that he was cursed. No, he's wrong. He wasn't cursed. He was the curse. And at that moment, Antonov hears a sound he's never heard before, or at least it seems like he's never heard it before. But we know that sound. We know the sound of a Demogorgon when we hear one. So you hear that. That's my impressionation of one. And he sits up and he gives it attention. And Hopper doesn't, like, he's so broken, he doesn't even react. It's not like, hey, I know what that is. You know, Antonov says, he's heard the story about the monster from America. He doesn't know if Hopper is cursed or not, but he's right about one thing. They are going to die in there. And then it fades away. And I was like, that almost, like any other show, that would be the end of the episode. It's just like the end of like the 32nd minute. Then we jump over to Hawkins. Now we stay in Hawkins for the rest of these 10 minutes. We jump around to a few different things, but we stay in Hawkins. And we see this car pull up that is the most federal agent-y car you've ever seen. Like, you'd never be like, oh, who drives that car? Oh, that's Jim. He's a trapeze artist. Or that's Johnny. He's a banker. Or that's Betty Sue. She's a doctor. Nope. This car, if you drive this car, you are a federal agent. Mad because I'm flagrant. Maybe some of you got that lyric. So these agents get out of the car and you realize that it's Owen's people. It's the female agent who was with the boys. Right? Weren't they with the boys in California? Now they're all the way in Hawkins. They made it to Hawkins. They knock on Wayne Munson's door and they're like, you know, we want, can we look around? Can we come in? She flashes a badge. He doesn't, you know, say, who are you? Where are you from? He lets them come in. One guy seems to have like a magic hairdryer. He's pointing it. It reminds me of like Egon going around and Ray from the Ghostbusters, you know, testing, looking for ectoplasm or using their EKG meter. For him, it's a magical hairdryer. And they see the cracking of what we know is quite possibly the beginnings of a rift to the upside down. He's like, I don't know. That came, I don't know, that's some kind of leak. She looks up at it and she's like, pack your shit. You're getting out of here right now. We're moving you. He's like, some bitch. I don't know if he said that, but that's what I heard. We then jump over, still in Hawkins, to the church where Chrissy's funeral is going on. It's pretty sad. You see her mother's talking to the whole congregation. And she says, you know, the monster who did this to her daughter is still out there hurting others. How can he live while my angel is gone? But we don't hear what she's saying much after that because we focus on Patrick. Patrick, who I feel like is the least hateable of the basketball pricks for the most part. And we see him, he looks over, he hears something, he looks over and he sees the grandfather clock. And when you see that clock, you're running out of time. So he's like, oh, what the hell is that? Then he snaps to and you see the mom is continuing to talk. And then we see the head prick, Jason, who is voted in the yearbook most likely to hate. He has this look of determination on his face. He's like, yeah, how come that guy's out there? Dumb determination. We stay with them, but we go, I'm going to guess, maybe back to Jason's house. Still in Hawkins, after the service, Jason gets a bunch of the guys together, probably all the basketball lemmings, just you know, following their captain wherever he goes. And he shows that someone came through from the yearbook committee and sent them a photo of the Hellfire Club. So now they know everyone in it. Not only that, but they see that Sinclair is in the photo. They think he's a traitor. And they're like, this goes, you know, the only reason he's keeping them from us is Hellfire must be hiding Eddie. And Patrick, he's like, maybe we should bring this to the cops. You think that would be the right thing? You think one of the kids would be like, maybe. Jason's like, the cops? The same ones who think Chrissy's a drug dealer? He's like, no way, I'm not going to the cops. But Patrick's nervous, not because of what's happening to him. Well, he doesn't know what's happening to him, but he actually thinks that what's happening to him is a Hellfire issue. Like, he's like, what if they're cursing us? Like, he thinks maybe that Hellfire is cursing them, so maybe they should lay off that way. And again, has nothing to do with Hellfire at all. And imagine if they did go to the cops. The cops would at least go ring them all up or try to, you know, ring them all up. And nothing, like, then things would happen. And maybe they'd be like, they're blaming them. And like the whole town would be like, these kids are evil. But like, it would almost show that they didn't do anything. Maybe it would actually clear things up easier for the kids. It wouldn't do anything to help, you know, fighting Vecna, but maybe it would at least get the town folks and these idiots off their backs. But of course, Jason's like, doesn't even want to hear that. He's like, I don't believe in any of this supernatural crap, but this cult is dangerous and we need to be smart about this. So he pulls out a list of everywhere that these Hellfire nerds have been spotted. And one of these turds brings up, hey, we need to add Reefer Rick to that. He's like, what? He's like, Reefer Rick, you know, that's Eddie's supplier. I guess he's back home. Some people saw him and my parents are nervous. So we should probably check his place out too. And he's like, it might be nothing. And Jason's like, you know what? That might be a good idea. You know what? The kid, it is actually a good idea, but it's a terrible idea because that's where Eddie is. So we stay in Hawkins, but we leave all those a-holes and we jump over to our mighty heroes as we see the Wheeler station wagon pull up and our crew gets out. Of course, it's Nancy, Robin, Dustin, Lucas, Steve, and with her Walkman and headphones on, Max. And we find out that they're outside of the Creel house. It's all boarded up and Steve's like, yeah, that's not creepy. They're there. Really? Steve's like, we're here just because of what Max saw in her visions? They're like, yeah, pretty much. They're like, you know, maybe the house holds the key to something. You know, Dustin's like, maybe it has the key to why he killed the Creels and how we can stop Vecna. And Lucas is like, he's not in there, is he? Max is like, well, I guess we'll find out. So they pry open the door. We see the stained glass window. And Max is like, oh my God. She has the flashbacks of her vision because that thing's been boarded up. So it's not like she has seen it all that much, you know, and Nancy saw it only in the old newspaper articles. So it's not like everyone goes, oh, that's the door of that boarded up house. So when Max sees it, it's like, whoa. So Steve tries the door. Of course, it's locked, but Robbins shows that she has a brick-shaped key. She's like, I found a key. They smash the window open. And luckily, like I was thinking, Steve goes in and opens the door. What if that didn't work? Like, what if it was a bolt? You know, they would have had to really smash a window probably to get through. So they go inside, and thankfully Dustin brought flashlights for everyone. He's a little sarcastic to Steve a couple times in this part of the story. So they're looking around, exploring, and Max is like, hey guys, come here. Brings them all back into the main foyer and says, You guys see this, right? And it's the grandfather clock. And Robin's like, yeah, it's just a clock, right? Just a normal old clock. And she looks up at it and she kind of wipes it. But it's definitely, she kind of, you know, just kind of examines it a little, but it's definitely just seems like a normal old grandfather clock. And Nancy's like, the answers are here. They're here somewhere. So I hate when, you know, groups split up because I feel like, yeah, you can cover more ground, but you can also get into a little more trouble or trouble can find you. So they split up in groups of two, though, to go investigate more. We have Team Girl Power of Robin and Nancy. We have Team True Love with Lucas and Max. And we have Team Bromance with Steve and Dustin. And Steve's like, huh. And Dustin's like, I'm sorry, did you sigh? And he's like, sorry, I didn't sigh. I didn't sigh. It's just, you know, like we're always partners. And Dustin's like, you have a problem with that? Steve's like, it'd just be nice to mix it up a bit. Oh, sorry. That's time. Another 10 minutes of Stranger Things 4 in the books. So where are we now? Now, we know that Hopper, we were there with Hopper, but he's feeling a bit hopeless and he's feeling like he has doomed Joyce, which isn't a good feeling. We do hear the monster, so it's another suggestion of we know we saw from the end of last season, but we know they have a Demogorgon there. I mean, let's be honest. It'd be shocking if it was anything else. Back in Hawkins, we see that Patrick now is being haunted even more by Vecna. And we see that Jason is determined more than ever to find Eddie, the evil that is still out there, according to Chrissy's mother. She's right, the evil is still out there. She's just wrong as to who the evil is. Jason has a photo and he circulates it amongst all of them to look and realize, look, Lucas is part of this Hellfire group and he's convinced that they are hiding Eddie. They have a list to go start searching, and one prick says, we should probably check Reefer Rick's house. Damn it! So, the crew that is hiding Eddie at Reefer Rick's... Actually, Eddie hid Eddie at Reefer Rick's house. But the crew is all at the Creel house trying to help Eddie. That's Nancy, Robin, Dustin, Lucas, Steve, and Max. They're there at the Creel house now, where Max ran into that grandfather clock. And now they're off to investigate the house even more. And what will they find? Ooh, maybe we'll talk about exactly what they find next time. But for now, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for following, for all that fun stuff. Thank you for all those countries all over the world. And if you want your country to get on the top 10 list, go outside right now. Run through the streets and tell them all about Stranger Danger. Say, do you want to be a stranger friend? I don't know, in your language. In New Zealand, you'd say, do you want to be a stranger friend? In Australia, you'd say, do you want to be a stranger friend? In Canada, you might say it in French or in English. United Kingdom, I believe they speak English, but who knows? Spanish, whatever they speak in the Netherlands, Portuguese, and, you know, basically just go out into the world and tell them that our country isn't high enough. And well, all these people have already done it. That's why their countries are so high. So if your country's on there, if you're listening in Japan right now, if you're listening in Italy, you want to say, we're not higher on the list. You got to go outside right now, and you got to get your stranger friends, your other friends, to become stranger friends. Convert them all to go listen to Stranger Danger. And they can do that quickly and easily by looking up on any of their podcast apps or going to StrangerDangerPodcast.com. And also, they can follow me on all the social medias at Geek Mentality, except TikTok, which is Geek Mentality Mike. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts, and the YouTube channel is Fans Not Experts. But everything for Stranger Danger can be found at StrangerDangerPodcast.com. That's it. I'm done. As you can see, my throat is feeling so much better, so that's why I'm happy to get this episode out to you as quickly as possible. So thank you again for listening, and until next time, remember, there's people like you, people like me, people like all those folks in Brazil that are listening and watching. We are the ones. We are the fans. We are the stranger friends that help keep Stranger Things alive forever.
Fans Not Experts.